A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Kesubas Pei Vav, Kesubas 86A. Pagination is 171. And we gratefully note that we've reached number 1,000 in the Dafyomi process. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should be Zoha to continue. That means that we are more than one-third through the Dafim. And we should be zocha to continue learning and to learn in more depth and more thoroughly in the future. Let's begin on the facing page. We have a lot of important concepts today. On the last of the small lines, Amalei Rava Lebrei de Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. Rava said to the son of Rav Chiya Bar Ovin, Ta'e Malach, come here. I'd like to tell you something. Milsa Ma'al Yusa, a really phenomenal insight, Dava Omar Avuch, that your father taught. Hada Omar Shmuel. This that Shmuel taught, and this is something we're going to elaborate on. Hamochash Tarchov Lachaveiro. If a person sells a debt to his friend, that means Mr. A owes Mr. B money. Mr. B took that document and sold it and all of its implications, its ability to be collected, he sold it to Mr. C. V'chozar umachlo, and now Mr. B is mochel. He forgives the debt. Machl. It really works. It's going to be annulled. V'afilu yoresh mochel. Even the inheritor, if Mr. B dies, and the son of Mr. B, who inherits the loan, is still going to be considered the intermediary. He's going to be the middleman. That means that the loan that Mr. C bought still is going through B or his descendants if he's gone. And therefore, if Mr. B cuts the link in the middle and he's mochelit, it's going to be machol, and Mr. C has a problem. He's not going to be able to collect. We may get to it today, but just to mention, there's still going to be a concept of Dina Digarmi. How much did you damage Mr. C by being mochalit? Because the damage you did to him is the equivalent of burning his shtar so that he doesn't have documentation. So there is an element of damage over here, but it is machal. What's the difference? So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a fascinating difference. Firstly, the difference is who you have to deal with, whether you're dealing with Mr. A to get your money or you're dealing with Mr. B to get your money. But secondly, not every document is worth its face value. A document may actually be downgraded a little bit because it's difficult to collect from a certain person. So that, for example, if there was a $1,000 loan between Mr. A and Mr. B, and Mr. B sold that $1,000 loan to Mr. C, it could be that the paper is not worth $1,000 in actual collections, because it could be that Mr. A is a very difficult person to deal with, or Mr. A doesn't have assets or whatever, and therefore a $1,000 document may actually only be worth $900 in the assessing its damage in the open market, because it's not so easy to collect it. In any case, the principle that we're working with is that if Mr. B is mochel it, it would be annulled because he remains as a middleman in this transaction, and without him, you don't have the links you need in order to collect. In Shulchan Aruch, what's brought is that if you want to protect yourself from this, once you do the transaction, you can make a kinyan, you can rewrite the document, something which the Gemara mentions coming up, and create the debt between A and C and purposely leave B out. But if you didn't, he remains the middle person who the debt continues to go through, and he can actually impact this in a most negative way. Nevertheless, Rava says there was an addendum taught to this rule. And this is what he wanted to tell the son of Rav Chiya bar Avin. Mode Shmuel, Shmuel agrees, b'machneses shtarchov lebayla, that when a woman brings such a debt into a marriage, and now she's dealing with her husband, who's going to be doing the collections, v'chazro machlaso, and she tries to forgive the loan, she'ena machol, it doesn't work. She can't annul it. Mepnei she'yado ki yado, because at this point, the husband has a hand in the transaction, and now that she's married, she's not on her own as a simple middleman. She's actually dealing with a partner, if you will, or maybe more, and she can't be mochalit. In any case, we're dealing with this introduced phenomenal concept that the middle person remains active when you sell or transfer a debt, which prompts the following story. One line up. Kirifti de Rav Nachman, there was a relative of Rav Nachman, Zavinta l'ksubasa betovas hana'a. She sold her ksuba in the way that a ksuba could be sold during a marriage, which is referred to as tovas hana'a. The buyer is not going to pay the face value of the ksuba. Instead, the buyer is going to be paying a futures price, because we're not sure if he's going to die first, the husband, or she's going to die first, the wife. The ksuba is only active if the husband dies first or if the husband divorces her. So it's a fascinating transaction. It's like taking odds on their marriage. Who's going to die first or if there's going to be a divorce? In any case, there is a price. Rashi refers to it as davar muat. It's not a lot. It's downgraded from the price of the ksuba. But what happens in this case is that she sold the ksuba betovas hana'a, and then in fact, igarsha, she got divorced. Ushchiva, and then she died. So now the collections of the ksuba that she was entitled to when she got divorced is going to fall, in this case, on a daughter who's going to be entitled to collect her ksuba. However, since the mother sold the ksuba during her marriage, that ksuba money is really supposed to go to the buyer. Asu katavi la levarata. So the buyers came to claim the money from the daughter. The daughter should collect the ksuba, and then she should pass it off to the buyers. Amaluhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was watching the story unfold, and he commented, like in an undertone, thoughtfully, Leka de Lisva la Eitza, is there no one who can give her advice? She has a solution. What's her solution? Tezo v'tichla l'ksuvasa di'ima l'gabe yavuha. She could easily forgive the debt to her father. And then eventually she will inherit that money from the father. In other words, the daughter is the middle person in this transaction. The father owes the money to his ex-wife, and therefore, since she's dead, to the daughter of the ex-wife. And from there, it's supposed to go to the buyer. But if the daughter pulls the plug on the debt, then it won't have to be paid. So Rav Nachman commented, there's a loophole over here that she could very well utilize. Shama, she heard, Azla Achilta, and she in fact annulled the debt to her father. Rav Nachman then regretted what he did. He says, Asinu atzmeinu ke'orchei hadayonim. We made ourselves like those who influence judgments, like the lawyers who argue things. So he wasn't so comfortable with what he did. Asks the Gemara, Meikara maisavar lebesof maisavar. What did he think in the beginning? What did he think in the end? Answers the Gemara, Meikara savar. Originally he felt, umibisarcha lo tesalam. that you have to look out for your relatives, and he doesn't want her losing out if she has something she could do. Ulibasov Savar, and at the end he realized, Adam Chashov Shaini, that since he is a reputable person, a noteworthy person in town, if people see that he did it for his relative, they're going to start doing it for anybody and looking out and adjusting the judgments by all kinds of loopholes. So apparently he felt that he was justified in doing it for a close relative. You're supposed to look out for them. And if there's a loophole, then you're supposed to look out for them. But for the general public, you're not supposed to influence the judgment in that way. And therefore he felt that even though as a regular person, it was appropriate to do, but as a person of note in town from whom people would learn, they would not differentiate and realize he would only do this for a close relative, and therefore he regretted that he did it because other people would learn from him. Tosfos asks a question which really sheds some light on this entire event. Tosfos asks, isn't there a law of Garmi? She's doing damage. It's like burning the buyer's document by pulling the plug on the loan, on the debt of the ksuba. So she's going to have to pay because of Dina de Garmi, the question that we mentioned earlier. How did she accomplish anything by doing this damage? And Tosfos suggests on the first small line, Diktana Hoysa, she was underage, and therefore she's not liable for such a type of damage, an indirect damage. And that also sheds light, perhaps, on what Rav Nachman was doing. She's, in effect, an orphan. Her father is alive, but there was a fallout between the father and the mother. And we don't know exactly what this underage girl's status was, and that's why Rav Nachman, perhaps, was looking out for her and trying to get her whatever assets he was able to get her, and he felt that if he would annul this, if she would annul the transaction, annul the debt, then she would be better off. And to a relative, he felt that was justified in pulling the plug, but in general, he felt it was improper to teach people to do such a thing. An incredible balance that's worth delving on and figuring out exactly what the guidelines for that are. Let's just finish up this piece. Gufa, we learnt. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hamochash tachov lechaveiro v'chazer omachlo machul. If a person sells a debt to another person and then annuls it, it's going to be annulled. Afilu yoresh mochel, even the inheritor of the middle person can annul it. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua says there's a solution which is brought in halacha, which we alluded to before. Ipikeyachu mekarkesh lezuze v'kosev leshtara b'shmei. He should make sure to go to the borrower, to the original person who owes the money, and make sure that a document is written in a way that the money is owed directly from A to C and keep B out of it. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.